U.S. allies from east to west are preparing to give President Trump an earful. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The president is set for some difficult meetings with U.S. allies today and this weekend. Today, he meets with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe of Japan. This weekend, he has the G7 summit in Canada, bringing together leaders from the U.S., Canada, France, the U.K., Italy, Germany, Japan. All of these countries involved are upset over U.S. tariffs and trade policy generally. We're joined by Diane Swonk this morning, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
The president, as we mentioned, is set to meet with a number of allies, and we expect for him to get an earful. What do markets think about that?
You know, it's interesting is markets have really started to discount the threat of a trade war because they've heard it so many times and it seems like just noise just at the very moment that actually the risk of an actual trade war have gone up quite substantially. What we're seeing is the rest of the world, I've never seen this before, actually coalesced to go against the United States because of things that we have threatened on trade and actually in some cases enacted on trade. They are now retaliating in unison and working with each other. This is a real 180 from where we were during the height of the financial crisis. And that is that we saw us able to get out of the financial crisis by everyone coordinating policies and everyone putting their oars in the water at the same time to row towards land and navigate us out of the worst of the storm.
Now, just to bring this back to the U.S. real quick, you happen to have been doing some digging in some macroeconomic data here at home, 3.8 unemployment rate, which sounds great. You find there's actually a few things to be worried about there. What are they?
Well, you know, we always want to embrace reductions in the unemployment rate and continued gains in employment, which are fabulous. But it's not your father's 3.8% unemployment rate. The last time we saw this low unemployment, the stress measure of unemployment, which includes those sort of marginalized or forced to take part-time jobs instead of full-time jobs, was 6.9%. In May, it was still 7.6%, more than a half percent above that the last time we felt this. We also saw wage gains picking up much more substantially, and people who really weren't even considered employable, firms were willing to train them and bring them into the labor force in ways we've yet to see in this expansion.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at the accounting firm Grant Thornton, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The administration's import taxes or tariffs on solar panels have led U.S. renewable energy companies to hold off or altogether cancel $2.5 billion worth of large solar installations at a cost of thousands of jobs. That's Reuters is reporting this. It says while the tariffs will protect some U.S. solar panel manufacturers, the economic damage appears to be outweighing those benefits. The London Stock Exchange ran into a wee bit of technical difficulty this morning. We asked the BBC's Rob Young to recap what gave investors some palpitations this morning.
Investors were taken by surprise as trading in London was unexpectedly delayed. Trading normally begins at 8 o'clock each weekday, but Thursday's opening session didn't begin until 9. The exchange is blaming simply a technical glitch. It has so far failed to provide further explanation. The London market hasn't suffered a problem like this for more than 7 years. Last time, human error was to blame. Last month, Euronext suffered a glitch that caused problems for the main French index, the CAC 40. Trading on Germany's Deutsche Börse was delayed by more than an hour in March because of a technical problem.
The BBC's Rob Young.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
The NBA Finals are in full swing, and while many fans will come to the game wearing the jersey of a favorite player, they do have other fashion options. Reporter Rob Sachs has more.
At Sandscreen Print in Manassas, Virginia, there's a whir of activity as workers ink, press, and cure artwork onto blank tees. Increasingly, it's making shirts for a company called Breaking Tee, which is turning moments in sports into trendy shirts, usually retailing for around $25 a piece.
We're running our apparel company like a media company.
That's Jamie Mottram, Breaking Tees president. His company has licensing deals with the players' associations for both Major League Baseball and the NBA. Breaking Tee employs social media trackers to pinpoint what's trending in sports. Then a team of designers brings that moment to life. Mottram shows off a shirt with the popular NBA Spurs guard Manu Ginobili, who is now contemplating retirement.
San Antonio legend, so we kind of made that as a tribute to him.
The shirt reads, Manu Forever. Dylan Carden is a senior analyst at William Blair. He monitors the apparel and accessories market.
The world seems to happen now in day increments as opposed to month increments or year increments from a fashion standpoint.
And consumers want to show off their individuality, says Nate Herman with the American Apparel and Footwear Association.
This idea of having something unique to you is very important and is an overarching trend in the industry.
In the past year, Breaking Tee has grown from selling dozens of shirts a week to hundreds a day. Fanatics, another e-commerce company which offers a wider range of on-demand sports apparel, has seen strong growth, doubling its revenue in just a few years to over $2 billion. I ask Vontre Swanson, a staffer at DC's Green Turtle Sports Bar and Grill, if he spotted this new fashion trend.
I haven't seen any of those yet. Mainly people, they like the jerseys.
So it may not be for everyone, but there's plenty of incentive for apparel companies to get in on the game. The international licensing industry estimates that official sports merchandise is worth more than $26 billion globally. In Washington, D.C., I'm Rob Sachs for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.